Welcome to The Pebble in Your Shoe, the podcast where we spotlight ordinary people living remarkable lives while debunking myths about aging, gender, and societal norms. I am your host, Alona Juanis, and together with our guests, we redefine what it means to live creatively on our own terms. Whether you're ready to retire, making a U-turn in your career, or just want to carve out a life of meaning, intention, and purpose, listen to these stories of people who are not merely living, but transforming and thriving. We all have feelings of unease, vulnerability, and fear. Let's not let them stop us from making the next part of our lives better than before. Be inspired and motivated by the stories presented here on the Pebble in Your Shoe podcast. Here we go. Nikki Fielding is the founder and president of Digital Brand Expressions, based in Princeton, New Jersey, which provides high-level search engine optimization for large companies and pioneers search strategies for AI chatbots. Not only does Nikki enjoy her work at DBE, but she also cares a lot about transforming business culture to be more productive, less stressful, and more life-enhancing. This desire has resulted in her creating and publishing Nikki's Notes for Compassionate Workplaces. As you will hear, Nikki's got a lot of energy and, at 65 years old, hasn't slowed down yet. She doesn't believe in the R word and keeps going where her ideas and curiosity take her. I hope you enjoy listening to her wisdom nuggets on today's episode. Hello, podcast listeners, and hello to my special guest, Nikki Fielding. Hi, Nikki.
Hi, Alona. Thanks for having me here today.
So nice to have you. So Nikki is a friend of mine, a more recent friend of mine, and I am awestruck by just finding out about her and all the things that she has done in her life and that she continues to do. The reason she's here on this podcast is because she told me she never wants to stop working. So, how old are you now? You don't mind sharing that?
Oh, I don't mind sharing it. I'm happy to share it. I made it this far. What have you done? Actually, I turned 65 next week.
All right, so you're 65. Mm-hmm. Are you still going at the pace that you used to?
More or less. I'm still working full time, so I'll use that as my answer.
So more or less. Okay. So let's give everyone sort of the background of how you got to this point. You're the president and CEO of Digital Brand Expressions. So how did that company come to be? Where were you before? How did you get there?
Yeah, sure. So I started my career at a few smaller marketing agencies, and then I segued to work at Dow Jones for a number of years, and I had increasing responsibilities there. So when I left, I had, at that point, I was responsible for the private investor products group. So we created and marketed software, the original interactive services for people who are trying to do better with their personal investing. And as I was doing that work, part of my responsibilities were M&A scouting for the company. And I just found myself more often than not wishing I was on the side of the table with the entrepreneurs. I wanted to be somebody with my own business. So in 1995, I took the leap with a partner and I created a company called United Multimedia. And we created interactive tools for teenagers and their parents. But that was kind of ahead of its time, honestly. We won awards, a large company was talking about buying us, but it just kept falling through because there was no real business model at that time. You couldn't take credit card orders on the web. There was no internet advertising. It was all so new. And what was happening is we were bootstrapping that with big projects from Merrill Lynch and Prudential and these mega companies, because we were one of the few organizations that knew how to create websites way back when. And so that's what was making the money. And my partner came to me one day and said, you know, I'm a publisher. I wanted to be publishing. I really don't want to do this anymore. And so we split up the business, and then I took it and I resold it to a larger agency. And then I ran it for them for a few years. So I was basically a plug and play interactive department for them, and I built that up. And at the end of about the third year, I realized, you know, I miss having my own business and I see opportunities, and I just wasn't aligned with the management of that organization. They just didn't see the same things I was seeing. So in, I guess it was 2001, I started this company, Digital Brand Expressions, and it's always had search engine optimization, very sophisticated SEO at its core. We've always done that for larger companies, and we continue to do that to this day. Over time, we were doing websites and email marketing, and then we were doing paid search, buying ads on Google and LinkedIn, et cetera. And it sounds easy when you say buying ads, but it's very complex. It's managing algorithms. And very recently, I decided that's I didn't want the business to be that expansive. I actually wanted to contract and to have more of a consulting business. So when you asked me earlier, am I still working the same way? I'm doing a lot of the same things, but what I've done very carefully is I've taken the parts that were very stressful and not personally fun for me. There are other people who love that. Got rid of those. Actually helped another person build their agency by transferring our clients over to them. And then I kept at the core the search engine optimization. And now we're actually pioneering a new service called Search AI Optimization. And we're learning to work with the new ways search engines are presenting information and having our clients have a presence even in those new views. So it's very exciting. What we can see, nobody else is really doing it. My team got in as beta testers and started figuring things out. So I'm very, you're catching me in a really good point because it was a lot of work to get to the point where I said, I'm not enjoying my life and my work the way I always did. And I love working. How do I change it so that I'm doing more of what I find gratifying and less of the parts that I just don't really love? So here I am.
So, you said algorithm, and I know you're in marketing, and I feel like you were always at the cusp of new technology. Are you a technical computer nerd, or did you just have people help you with that?
It's just so funny. I've always been in technology marketing in a technology space. I love the things that technology can do. I'm not a programmer, I'm not an engineer. So in some ways I'm different from a lot of people in the space because I come at it basically from a consumer's perspective. I try to keep it so that I ask the right questions and I understand what's going on, but I'm always able to explain it to somebody who this isn't what they do all day long. And that's a big part of why my company has been so successful, is because I am able to do that, but so are the people who work for me. So we don't talk over or under where our clients' mindsets are. It's like, hey, this is what we're doing, these are the benefits. And we can explain it till the cows come home, but most people don't need all that explanation.
That is an interesting point because I found that that is invaluable, being able to let Joe Schmo understand what it is you're talking about without getting in the weeds, you know, making it understandable to your audience, even when it's a super technical thing. And I think that is just like a great skill that obviously you've nurtured throughout the years, and now it's, I guess you're just keeping going with that as you now are doing the new part of your business with the, what are you calling it, AI SEO?
Yeah, so it's SEO, and then we call it SEO. So SEO and SEO, Search AI Optimization. It's quite a mouthful. Everything we do, our name, what we do, everything's like really long.
So, can you explain this to I know you did just talk about it a smidge, but can you explain it to the listener? Like, if it's just someone like me who has no experience, I haven't really been in marketing, and say I have a small business, why would I like be interested in what you are now doing?
Okay, so if you think about the results that you get when you enter a keyword in the search engine, so I'm going to use the example of fried chicken recipe or southern fried chicken recipe. When you do that, you're going to get ads at the top of the page. They're clearly marked as ads. And I'm just talking Google, it happens on Bing as well. You're getting ads that are marked as ads, sponsored listings. And then you're at the bottom of the page, you're getting links to websites, the traditional website links. They're called natural or organic listings. Those are what Google pulls up itself based on your search query. It's basically saying, I think these websites have the answer you're looking for. So the ads at the top are businesses who are raising their hands, pick me, pick me. I have what you're
Those
looking
are
for.
the ones that you got for your customers, right?
Right. And well, both actually, we do the whole page. So
Oh, for the whole page.
at the top, you're paying for that presence and you're jockeying for position in the systems that I mentioned that can get very complicated. Then at the bottom of the page, if you're doing search engine optimization correctly, you will make your site very attractive based on the keywords and other sites that point to that page and things that you do to specific pages on your website at a keyword level. You make the site attractive. So when the search engines have to go find an answer, you get pulled up into that list. And the better you do your optimization work, the higher in that list you appear. What's changed is that now the search engines are also creating their own answer. So rather than sending you to a website in that list with where you can go to find the answer, they're trying to create the
I've
answer
seen
for you.
those answers, and I don't know where they come from.
Well,
Okay.
those are the search engines' own AI chatbots that are
Ah,
bots
yes.
that are pulling that information together for you. And what we figured out is when our clients have relevant information, we figured out what the search engines or AI bots are looking for. So they'll pull information from our client's site and other resources too, and they combine that to form their own answer. However, they list their resources. So what's going to happen over time is you'll see the ads because that's how the search engines make money. And you'll still see those natural listings at the bottom that you don't pay for. If your links show up there and they click on, you're not paying for them. But because the search engines are trying to create a quick answer for you, you're going to be less likely to go down to that bottom of the page and go to various websites. If that box of information gives you what you were looking for, you're done. You
So
check.
you can click on that and see where the information was culled from.
But you don't even need to click on it. They just
They're
present to
already
you.
there.
They just present to you a couple of paragraphs, and then they cite their sources at the bottom of those paragraphs.
Huh,
So
so could
you'll
they be
see.
wrong? Like
What's that?
I said, is it possible those answers are incorrect?
Sometimes those answers are incorrect, but you can also use that information. Right now, it tends to be used, and those answers are pulled up when they're questions that are pretty simplistic. It's not complicated medical information, for example. Right. So, Southern Fried Chicken recipe, that's a great example. And I give you that example because our client shows up as a resource. Paula Deen is one of our clients. So, Paula Deen, the chef. Her website shows up as a resource for that search. She also shows up in the natural listings because we've optimized her site to appear there as well.
Okay. So
So,
I love how you're just like going with the flow. Whatever's happening, you're there. You're not afraid to pivot, change. Learn new things, explore, get out ahead of it, which it sounds like what you're trying to do with your company.
that's the fun part. I mean, it's a boutique agency. I've purposely kept the agency small. We're very selective about the clients we bring on board, and we're looking for clients that are trying to make the world a better place. And it could be B2B, B2C. It doesn't mean that they have to be a not-for-profit that's very focused on making the world better. We look for companies that understand the importance of what we're doing. They value it, so that my experts are talking with people who are very appreciative of the level that they bring to them in terms of the services we provide and the caliber. So that keeps my employees happy. Our clients are thrilled because their results are better than we tell them they're going to be. You know, we're constantly overperforming, which is the kind of people I hire. And we just, it wouldn't be fun if we were just status quo. So we're always looking for how do we improve this. So if our client's in the number two position, of course we want them in the number one position. And we're constantly looking at how their competitors are performing and figuring out how did they get there, what do we need to do? And we talk a lot about what happens on the website, but a lot of it is about their social media and how they're showing up in social media spaces and the kinds of content they're sharing. It's a lot about content and content marketing at the end of the day.
Well, it sounds like you have an endless curiosity and that you're not afraid of not knowing things. Would you say that's true?
Yeah, that's a great read.
So you just like to, so maybe a risk taker? I mean, all this, just sounds to me like it's endless opportunities, but there's a lot in the way of figuring stuff out. Like it's a trial and error. And I mean, is that right?
I think that the people that work for me, I would say that's true about them. They're very curious. It's something that we hire for. We want people who are curious. We want people who suspect they may be right, but they still want to get more information because there's always more to learn. So, and that's my mindset. There's always more to learn. I never think I'm right. I suspect I'm right, and I just want to keep checking that point of view. And that's on everything. I'm always listening to people who have very different perspectives than I do because I want to hear how they got there and do I want to change my mind based on what I'm learning or am I good for now on whatever the topic is.
So you also have started another project called Nikki's Notes, and this is about compassionate leadership. So how did that come to be?
That is a big part of my pivot, the point I'm at right now, because I love the search engine optimization work and I love my company and what we're doing, but it wasn't fulfilling enough for me in and of itself. And so I started working with a coach, I guess it's 2 years ago now, specifically because I couldn't say the R word. And I was just so retire. Like, what? I don't want to retire. That sounds like a death sentence. I don't want to do that. And then there's a book called Roar by a man named Michael, and I forget his last name in the moment, but he wrote a book called Roar. And it's one of his key phrases in there is not retiring, it's rewiring, and how you need to relook at how you're looking at your world. And so I did a lot of introspection, a lot of reading. I'm also right now reading a book that I'm recommending to anybody who will listen to me. It's called From Strength to Strength by, I believe it's Arthur Clarke. You can see I'm really bad with people's names, but I think it's Arthur Clarke.
All right, from strength to
But
strength.
From Strength to Strength. And he talks about this stage of life where you know that there's more. But it's a great opportunity to say, hey, look, I worked really hard all my life and I've had so many successes. What else do I want to be doing? Do I want to keep doing what I'm doing, or is there something else that would be really gratifying to me? Are there things that I kept saying, I'll get to that when I have time? So I took a step back 2 years ago and I started working with the coach. Initially, it was to get me to see what it would be like when I wasn't working. And what I learned is I like working. I like that feeling of being productive. I love helping other people. A big part of what I do all day long is I make connections for people. So I'm talking with this person. I'm remembering 3 days ago, I talked to somebody else. I do remember names in that case, but I have lots of notes. I'm constantly putting people together. Oh, you need this? This person does that. And so this coach that I was working with helped me see I don't want to retire. I want to do things differently so that I can get more enjoyment out of what I am working on. And it's gone very well.
Okay, so but how so Nikki's notes were so.
Yeah, sorry. So Nikki's notes is the, yeah, I know I went on a tangent again. So Nikki's notes for it's right now called Nikki's Notes for Compassionate Leaders. And the idea is that I really want to help people who are trying to lead with compassion. They want to do the right thing. A lot of times, with people who are running B Corps, they've gotten the certifications, they care more than about just the financial bottom line, and they're very dedicated to that. But unless you have the whole organization understanding those values and aligning with those values, it could be very demoralizing as a leader because you're putting your heart and soul into doing things the right way. And still, you find toxicity in your company. Still, you find people who are undermining each other. And so, Nikki's Notes for Compassionate Leaders is really pointing to trends, pointing to best practices, pointing to information in the news that will help you feel fortified that, yeah, this is the right thing to do. It's easy to just punt and say, I give up. People are people. I can't help. This is just how business is. No, that's absolutely not true. Let's work together. Let's create the better vibrations. Let's work to make business a better way to make the world better. We have every business owner has a platform, a personal platform right there to start making the world better from their own perspective. So how do you do that? And starting, I think, kindness and compassion, which is often misinterpreted. And when I surveyed my readers recently, I heard a lot of people saying, I think I'm compassionate, or I'm trying to be compassionate as a leader most of the time, but the employees don't seem to get it. Sometimes they try to take advantage of me. They confuse kindness with weakness. And there's a lot that I could be doing to help leaders figure out where do you draw the line? How do you set the right boundaries? How can you be confident and compassionate? They're not exclusive.
Was there ever a moment where you said, we need more compassion in the workplace? Like, was there a moment like that, or you've always been that person to bring it in and see that it was necessary? Because it's really, every place I worked, that was not a thing. I just want to say, put it out there.
The first place I worked when I was very young was a company called Blessing White. And at the time, they were pioneers in a performance review process where the employee actually led the performance review. It was very innovative. And I learned a lot about how to treat people well and what made a really strong organization from the two founders who I was an assistant and I worked outside of their two offices. And I would hear them, they'd talk through the wall to each other. And I just learned and absorbed a lot about that. And then over the years, I've had situations where I've been in some organizations that was a hallmark. People cared about each other from the top down, from the bottom up, side to side. People really worked as a team. It was awesome to be a part of that. And unfortunately, I worked in places that were poisonous, either because the leadership was trying, but the people, they had some bad apples, where the leadership was just bad and employees struggled. So I think I've been in the mix in lots of different ways.
So, do you feel that women are in a good spot to be the ones to create these kind of organizations, or do you think it's not gender specific that anyone is? I just think that as a woman, as a mother, I feel that I have some skills that are natural to me as a leader. I don't know. What do you think?
I have mixed thoughts. I think that everybody is capable, and I think most people would prefer to have an organization where compassion is a part of the culture, a key part of the culture. Men and women, I think they know that it's beneficial and they gravitate towards it. I will say that I think part of the reason this is becoming a thing now, I'm not the only person doing this work. There are lots of people who are queuing into this and trying to help. But I think that having more women in leadership roles who are trying to address the things that didn't work as they were coming up through the ranks, I think that's part of what's pushing this right now and making it an actual thing. Compassionate culture, kindness culture, bringing humanity back to the workplace. Those are some of the buzzwords you hear.
So, when did you start Nikki's Notes? How many years ago?
I think it's about 2 or 3 years ago, because it was originally sporadic. I didn't do it regularly.
Okay.
Last year was the first year I produced it every single week.
Okay. I know I think I must subscribe because I get it in my inbox and I also see it on LinkedIn. So those are two spots. And there's also some really positive types of links that, I guess they're all connected to compassion, but I think there's a lot of value in that newsletter. And I know you try a lot of things out. You say, hey, I just tried this. You should try it. It's good. So it's
Well, I guess from the perspective of I want leaders to feel energized And so I tried to share things. There's one for tomorrow's issue. There's a thing on the phases of the moon and what the different moons are called throughout the year. It has nothing to do with leadership, except I say, hey, apparently some people don't sleep well when there's a full moon. You might keep that in mind if you've got a sleepy employee.
Or the full moon, right? That's when everyone goes off the deep end.
So sometimes I have something, a lot of times I'll just have something silly or just something that's, something that people who know me, they'll say, I hear your voice in there. I hear that. But most of it's business related and it's just, hey, work from home, here's the latest studies or, and then I have commentary. I try not to be too opinionated because I don't really feel that's the purpose of it. I feel like I'm there to create the ripples so other people can make waves. I really just want to keep feeding positive, strong messages and information to people who are trying to make a difference.
Wonderful, beautiful. I mean, I love that you even conceived of such a thing. So thank you. I wanted to ask you if you came across any kind of sexism on your during your career path and in your even when you owned your own business, do you feel like that was a thing?
Yes, unfortunately, definitely in the Fortune 500 company, that was prevalent. Definitely throughout my career, there have been sexism incidents, some overt, some subtle, some I probably missed, and some I perhaps misinterpreted. But yes, I definitely have had experiences that were not positive because directly because I was a woman. Ageism is another ism. I don't know that I've experienced. I think perhaps I've experienced it and just didn't realize that's what it was.
Well, maybe, by virtue of the fact that you have your own business, it kind of puts you in a different spot than someone who's knocking on the door looking for a job, and has 2 pages, 3 pages of a resume and, never gets called. So, yeah, it'd be interesting to see what if it's even a thing for you as an entrepreneur and creator of Nikki's Notes. You have a lot of value just from the wisdom of all the years of working and all your curiosity and constant learning. Like you have a lot to give, and that's a beautiful thing as far as I'm concerned.
Thank you. I appreciate all the compliments. I'm just so committed.
Sure. So, going forward, do you see any obstacles ahead for yourself as someone who is well, aging.
Sure. We can
What do
say
you see
it. I can
coming?
even say the retirement word now. I can say
Okay,
the
good.
words. Yeah, we can say it.
So, yeah, but I mean, what obstacles do you see for yourself as you move forward with your business and your newsletter? Like, where do you feel like you might come across some difficulty?
Honestly, I think part of it is my health. I do get concerned. I recently had a hip replacement surgery. It was an unusual situation, and it was surgery that had to happen. And it put me in a really interesting mindset because I said, oh, there are times when you really just don't have the energy you want. You can't do certain things. And so I became very aware that, I might need to start making accommodations for myself so that I can keep doing what I want to do the way I want to do it. But that hip surgery was a big eye-opener. And the surgery went very well. Great doctor, great process. I was walking 3 days later. Awesome. But it was definitely a recovery, and it was definitely a mindset changer. Like, oh, I'm not going to be able to do everything. At some point, I will not be able to do things physically. Hopefully not mentally. I haven't made that acknowledgement.
So just the normal wear and tear in the body, it's not reliable. It's got a mind of its own.
So for example, like networking, I was mentioning I connect people. How do I connect people? I'm out meeting people all the time. I meet lots of people online, but I meet a lot of people in person too. I went to a networking event last night. It was a great event. It was for young women in the healthcare profession, healthcare industry, of pharma, healthcare products. And they had a panel discussion and they were talking about different aspects of taking care of yourself, asking for promotions, asking for raises. It was a great panel discussion. Afterwards, there was networking, and I wanted to stay, but my knee was killing me. I have to have knee surgery, and my knee was killing me, and it was just like, I have to go home. And that was just an accommodation, and that's age-related. I'm obviously age-related.
So is there any way that you mentor young people? Because I feel like that would be a waste if you didn't. You just know so much.
Anybody who asks me, if somebody asks me for my time, I'm happy to contribute it. I feel that I deserve that. I have plenty of people helping me. I feel it's the right thing to do. So, there are a number of younger people, and it's all informal. There's a person in my organization that I spend a lot of time with who's younger, who I absolutely love working with, but I'm her boss. So, that's not a separate mentoring. But yeah, there probably would be about 15 people now who will regularly check in with me, ask me for opinions.
Nice.
Yeah, and I just am happy. I love it.
You're obviously a creative person. So how has your creativity changed from when you were younger and now that you're older and just still in the thick of it, but everything's changed since then? How has it changed?
When I started Digital Brand Expressions, even the name was about being a creative agency. We did content, we did graphics, we did video, and I was very involved. I was, in a sense, the creative director for the company. And then over time, the businesses changed. It became much more of a math and algorithm solution. And so I realized I wasn't getting my creativity wedded through the business. That's part of the reason Nikki's Notes. And there was another business I started in there that was a one-shot consulting coaching business. It was called Owlfina. And I was experimenting with coaching people via video one time. You're a business owner, you're stuck. I can't solve the problem for you in an hour. But in an hour, it worked 100% of the time. I would get them talking about what was bothering them. And just by hearing their own voice say it in a safe place, they'd start to think about the problem differently 100% of the time. They'd say, oh, and they'd tell me like a week later, 2 weeks later, they'd send me a note saying, that actually worked because once I said it out loud, I realized that wasn't the problem, something else was, or I was making a bigger deal out of it than it was, or whatever their answer was. So when I was doing that, that felt creative because I was creating a business around that concept. And that's where Nikki's Notes came from, because Owlfina was the business and I was putting out a newsletter about helping people help themselves, and it kind of morphed into compassion.
Owlfina, Owl and Athena.
Yeah, everybody's got Athena this and Athena that. So I took her symbol, so she's the goddess of wisdom and war, and business can be both. And so one of her symbols is the owl. So I had Owlfina.
I see. Very creative. I like it. I wanted to ask you, where would you say your biggest period of personal growth has occurred in your life? Mm-hmm. Has it been early on, in the middle, right now, like, or all along, maybe?
Yeah, it's more that there were peaks and valleys. So I think key places where I changed a lot, one was when I made the decision after years to divorce my first husband. Mm-hmm. And it was a very, very, very difficult relationship. And it was a big decision to leave. Once I left, I started to feel like myself again. And that was very transformational because I realized how much of myself I wasn't being for years, just trying to get along with him. So that was one point. Then I think the next big point was I had several years in my business, roughly 2013 to 2018, where I was just not happy. We were profitable, but I either had clients who weren't staying because they weren't getting what they needed, and I had employees who were difficult, and I talk a lot about that on in different situations about how they weren't aligned with what I was trying to do, and I couldn't figure out what the problem was. So at the end of 2018, I was actually going to close down the business just purely out of frustration on a personal level. Like, this isn't...
You were going to close down Digital Brand Expression?
Yeah. I was really at that point. And then something told me, don't do that. And it was take some time and think about every aspect of the business. So I spent 3 months, and every morning I would get up and I would sit in my comfy chair and I would think purposefully about an aspect of the business. And I started with the things that I thought were working really well. And I challenged myself, are they really working well? And so I went point by point by point. And at the end of 3 months, I was sitting with someone who was thinking about buying my company as a plug and play solution to be a marketing department for his startup. And as I'm talking with him, I'm realizing he's not prepared. He didn't come to the meeting prepared to have this conversation. And as I'm talking with him about the business, it was like an Owlfina session for myself. I hear myself saying all these great things about the company. And I walked out of that room in New York, and I was walking down the street, and I said, I don't want to sell this. I don't want to close this. I want to make another run at this, but I'm going to do it my way. I'm not going to think about doing it the way everybody says you should do this, you should do that. I'm going to do it my way. And I blew up so much of it and started from like this point. And it went great. It's been great ever since. It's been phenomenal. And it was just that I listen to myself. What do I want? I was honest with myself. And I hired some consultants who were very honest with me. And one of them was, I love leading. I love helping people. But I had somebody who said to me, part of the problem is you suck as a manager. He actually said that to me.
Oh,
and instead of being offended, I told you earlier, I'm a curious person. I said, what do you mean? I suck at this. I love it. He goes, you could love it all you want. You suck at it. He goes, listen to what you've been telling me. And it was true. It was that at that time, and I'm still guilty of it to this day, I would see the good in people. And I would work so hard to bring out the good in people who were sometimes not very good people. And I would just make exceptions, make passes, try to make it work. I was doing too much to try to make it work when they were just not the right people. Mm-hmm. And when he said that to me, it was like, what? And then he talked me through, and I said, oh my God, you're right. I'm a good leader. I suck as a manager. And so from that point on, I never hired people who I needed to manage. I would hire people who I could lead. This is what needs to be done. Go ahead and do it. Let me know if you need help. And it's been so much better.
So that was a big risk you took when you said, whatever year that was, when you just scaled everything back.
Mm-hmm.
Was that scary?
Yeah, it's always scary. It's always scary, but you can't get anywhere if you don't go through it. You know.
I mean, you could have blown the whole thing up, correct? Like,
yeah,
like
I was.
Growth,
I,
well, but with the opposite.
Yeah, no, but it you know, we let go of some of the clients who weren't drinking the Kool-Aid. I let go of some of the employees who were just not salvageable. And I rebuilt with the strong core. And we had clients who were still with us from that time. We always delivered for the clients, but so that was, you know, that was partly what made me kept thinking, I get the guess this is okay. The clients are getting what they need from us and we're profitable. And then I came to realize, like the B Corps do, there's way more to being successful than a healthy bottom line. And if your employees aren't happy and your clients are rotating in and out and you can't, it's just, that wasn't good. And I was miserable because I'm all about delivering excellence. Like if I can't do it with excellence, I don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. And so it wasn't excellent for a few years. It was sporadically brilliant, but not excellent.
Well, I love how you said that you were not aligned to the employees. You were not aligned with some of the employees. You weren't aligned with some of the customers, which I can see getting rid of employees as a manager that aren't, you know, part of the solution. But customers, I'm really like, wow, that must have took some courage.
So I always said that I wanted, from the very beginning, I wanted to build a company where employees wanted to come, potentiate, do their best, and then go home and be with their family and friends or whatever home was to them, and come back refreshed the next day. And I also always said that I wanted clients who enabled us to do our best work. And from 2013 to 2018, that was just, it was turmoil. I might have a good group of employees, but we had some clients. And the other, one of the big challenges is I would bring on clients because I had all of these employees to support. Mm-hmm. And so I wasn't as careful about vetting the clients. So one of the big changes I made, and to this day, it's one of the smartest things I ever did, is I took our process and I broke it up into projects. So a client would start with us on a project. It was very defined. And then we would be vetting them. The whole team would be coming back to me and saying, oh, they're really delightful. This is great. Every once in a while, I'd be like, there's a person on the team who you didn't meet, Nikki, when you were selling them, but this person is really, really off the rails. And so we would use our project process to vet the clients and try to get a handle. And there were a couple of clients we didn't go any further with because they didn't pass.
Do they know you're vetting that? Like, do they know they're on the job?
No, but frankly, they're doing the same process. It also gave them the opportunity to see, hey, is this agency everything they said they were?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. I love that. I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah, but it worked. I mean, that's why I can sit here and tell you the story. You know,
yes.
It worked.
Yes.
It was a good thing to do. It's very transparent. It's very honest. You know, it's the kind of thing that I advocate through the compassionate leadership work. It's a lot of it comes down to be honest. You know, have the hard conversations with people. You know, just it's a lot of
that's such a hard, like so many people can't do that.
It's hard.
You
have a conversation with somebody if you know that it's going to be challenging.
How about in your own family? It's hard. It's it's a tough skill.
Yeah. So I think a lot of good is happening in business. I think in a general sense, people are more educated. No, I don't mean school educated. I just mean people are more aware of how to speak with people, how to overcome challenges. If somebody's difficult, I think people are just generally more aware. You don't go running to your manager about that. Your first step is to try to communicate. Was there a misunderstanding? So I think as we evolve as a species, this will all get better at business too.
Mm-hmm. What is the most important thing you've learned in the last 10 years that you could share with us?
Not to give advice if somebody has not asked you for the advice. It's hard for me. I love helping people. I always think I'm being helpful. I learn.
Yeah.
Unless they ask me, don't offer it, because I eventually got feedback that where I thought I was being helpful, I was coming across as a know-it-all, or I was coming across to people that they couldn't solve it on their own. And that was devastating to me. That really hurt because I felt awful that I caused that in somebody else, and also that I missed the mark so completely. But it definitely helped me to be more aware. If somebody's not asking for my help, don't offer it. Wait for them.
Yeah, you know, I have learned that lesson too, and I don't know why it didn't come into my attention. Didn't come to my attention till this age, like just now, because now that I have adult children with spouses. And I realized how careful I have to be with my words, and mm-hmm. that not to, you know, I have, this is the problem. This is the problem. I have all this wisdom. I went to school for so long. I study, I'm constantly learning. I know so many things that I just feel like you should know it too, but they're not asking to know it, right? If they wanted to know, anybody can find stuff out now, right? Or they can ask me, but it's a tough line to walk, because when you see people that could benefit from this information, and you know they're banging their head on the wall, but they're not asking, so you know it is a really good lesson to shut your mouth as needed.
Yeah, no, it's and sometimes I feel it's hard because I feel like I have the answer. This could help you, but I
yep. Okay, so what's one piece of advice you would give someone who is seeking to make meaning out of this third chapter? So the first chapter is being a child in school and getting your education. Second one is your career, family. And then the third is the career may be over, or you're continuing now in the third chapter, the one that's leading to the end. I hate to say it, but it's
yeah,
true.
No, I mean, that's...
What would you say to someone who's in that third chapter who wants to have a meaningful experience and not be put out the pasture?
I guess two things. One is to find a quiet time, quiet space, and ask yourself and answer honestly and take for as long as it takes to get to the answer, what do you want? Because so many times people, you'll ask them, what do you want? And they'll start telling you, well, I can't do this and I can't do that. It's like, no, no, what do you want? And when you can really clearly articulate for yourself what it is that you want, everything seems to just magically fall into place. So that would be the first thing I'd say. Don't listen to what, we live a lot longer than we used to. So stop trying to live up to what you think a 65, use myself 65, what does a 65 year old do? Well, what do I do? What do I want to do? So I would say, get quiet with yourself and ask and answer the question. And the other thing is that book, Strength to Strength, from Strength to Strength, it is written for people at this point in our lives. And the man does such a brilliant job. I'm literally dog-earing pages because I can't mark them fast enough. He's saying things and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's brilliant. I wish I had said that. That's what it feels like. That's how I think. It's a bestseller because it resonates with so many people, because you're like, oh, not only does it resonate, but he's got advice and how to reframe things and how to feel better about it. Because yeah, at the end of my daughter always says, none of us gets out of here alive. Mm-hmm. I think that's a rock and roll singer said that. But yeah, we don't get out of here alive. So let's be real about that. Let's just be real about it. Yeah, I'm not going to be here forever. I've done a lot of really cool things. What do I really want? I want to help other people. I want to pass on the knowledge when somebody wants to know about it. And I just want to keep making those connections. And yeah, I want to have some more time to do the fun things too. For some reason, I cannot explain. I do not want to own a boat. I want to learn how to pilot a boat. I cannot explain why, but I'm going to be taking classes to do that because it's on my list.
Okay. So number one was sit down and figure out what you want. And what's the second thing? Read that book.
Read that book. Oh, okay. I can't express enough how amazing this is. And the third thing would be, there's an organization called Mind Valley, and they've got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of self-help, different world famous people who have different skills. So I'm learning speed reading from Jim Quick. There's a person who's all about managing your energy. His name is Jeffrey Allen. I'm taking a class with him. And the founder of Mind Valley's name is Vishen Lakhiani. And he has this amazing programs, like 20-minute courses on how to reframe your reality so you're not stuck in these boxes that other people created.
Mm. So you just keep on learning. So what do you do for fun? Did you just tell us?
No, I mean, for fun, it's like,
you're gonna learn to ride the boat.
I bike, and you know, I'm going to be taking up more golf again now that I have a little more time, and I see my friends and family, and I find that really energizing.
Okay. And how do you want to be remembered by your family and all the people that you've met in your business?
I know this is going to sound crazy, but I really don't care if I'm remembered.
You don't.
I'm doing my best to help now. If I'm remembered, awesome. If I'm not remembered, I'm okay with that.
That's cool. I mean, yeah, I mean, eventually you will be, I mean, we all will be forgotten. Well, as the generations go, there will be no more remembrance of Nikki or Alona. You know, time will just go on and we'll just be, you know, reincarnated, yeah, or something. I don't know.
Yeah, so it's not a goal. How I'm remembered, it's not a goal. But while I'm here, I'm hoping I'm being helpful.
Okay. So how do people follow you or get to know you more online? What links or?
Well, you can find me on LinkedIn from a business perspective. That's easy. It's Veronica Fielding on LinkedIn. I think there's just one of me. And I look like this. And then... also, I publish on Medium. So Nikki's Notes, you can Google Nikki's Notes, but you could also find me on Medium. So again, it's, you know, I'm in all the places you'd think. And everybody calls me Nikki. So most places online, I put Veronica Fielding, but I put Nikki in the middle in quotation marks.
And also you have the Digital Brand Expression website.
Yeah, digitalbrandexpressions.com if you're so inclined for wonderful SEO and SEO for your business.
Yeah, well, you never know. And yeah. And is Nikki's Notes a website, or is just a newsletter that you issue through?
It lives on the Digital Brand Expressions website.
Okay, it does. Okay. All right, awesome. It was so much fun talking to you. You're so much fun, and I love your energy, and I just love you to pieces, Nikki.
You know, the whole time you're complimenting me, I just keep wanting to say, and I think you're amazing. And I love, love, love your writing.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Well, thank you for coming today, and we'll look forward to the next episode. Thanks, guys. Bye.
If you've enjoyed today's podcast and want to stay connected, subscribe to our weekly newsletter at www.thepebbleinyourshoe.com. To never miss a podcast episode, make sure to hit that subscribe button wherever you listen. You can also watch the episodes on the Pebble in Your Shoe podcast channel on YouTube. If you have an interesting story of change and growth in the third chapter of life, or know someone who does, reach out at pebbleshoepodcast@gmail.com. Again, pebbleshoepodcast@gmail.com. Thank you for listening.